Luke 24. I want to read three passages today. And the message is entitled, Questions About Jesus, Who Was Dead, Whom Paul Affirmed to Be Alive. Now that is an inspired title for a message, because those are the very words of Scripture, words of Festus, a Roman official. Listen, questions about one Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. That's the message today. Let me read you from Luke 24. Verse 13, And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. This is about a 7-mile walk. And they communed with each other of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And they are talking, and Jesus says, What things are you talking about? Verse 19. What things? And they said to him, The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he, our Lord Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, let's look at those words in Acts 25. Acts 25. Here is a matter-of-fact statement by a Roman official. Acts 25, and look at verse 19. He's laying the case before King Agrippa and Bernice, and it says in verse 19, But they had certain questions against him of their own religion, and of one Jesus, who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Listen to that. So matter of fact, questions about one Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And now in 1 Corinthians 15, Verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, the Apostle Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some are fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the child untimely born, he appeared to me also. Now, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he hath been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, then is our preaching vain, your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God that he raised up Jesus, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we only have hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you have set before us what men say and think, and what you say and is true. Let us know that only some of us can use those words, but we are thankful that what we have read is true, and we desire that by thy Spirit all who are here shall understand that which is factually considered by man, and let them understand and let it turn out to be truth, a reality in their souls. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Only one question is of any importance. Whether Jesus, who died, has been raised from the dead. No other question is of any importance. If the world is right, and they agree with you in this, oh yes, Jesus died, but they disagree with you when you make the next statement that Paul affirmed, that he is alive, then if what they think is true, then you should change the way you live. What you should do, some of you, is to intensify this life of sin that you're living. And all of us who are Christians should change our way of life. And this is what Paul said. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink. For tomorrow we're going to die and we perish. That's what the Word of God teaches you. If the answer to the question, this one Jesus who died, is he alive again? If he is alive again, then change your life from sin. And if not, let us Christians change our lives that are supposed to be sanctified lives, holy lives. Let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we're going to die, and that's the end. But what happens is this, that the world will acknowledge that Jesus died, but only some affirm that Jesus is alive. And what I've done, and I've been doing it for over 50 years now, is examining every argument that the world has given to convince us simple Christians who believe that Jesus is not alive. And I say this with honesty and sincerity, with some degree of intelligence, having considered all the matter, that I believed it March the 27th, 1946, and I have continued to believe it to this day, And there is not one person in the world, in all his wisdom, and in all his arguments, and in all his denials, that had caused me to change my belief in a risen Christ in the least. Why? Because, and I want to give to you now for the sake of time, not only Paul's affirmation that Jesus is alive, but rather than tell you, let me quickly give these reasons to you. Why do we believe that Jesus is alive? Because two women and more returning from the sepulcher have been met by Jesus, and they know that he's alive. That Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher spoke to Jesus, and she knew that he was alive. That the apostle Peter was seen by the Lord Jesus Christ. That the two disciples I read to you about on the road to Emmaus, they know that Jesus is alive. That all the apostles, except Thomas, saw Jesus, and they know that he is alive. And then, a week later, all 11 apostles saw Jesus, and they know that he's alive. Then, at the Sea of Galilee, 7 of the followers of Christ saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive. Then, to the 11 and more than 500 others at a mountain saw Jesus Christ alive. Then, the apostle James saw Jesus Christ alive. Then, at the last, before our Savior went back to heaven at Jerusalem, they saw the Lord Jesus go to heaven. And the apostle Paul, so long time after, saw Jesus alive. And John, on the Isle of Patmos, saw Jesus alive. And I told you last week, as Stephen was stoned, he saw the heavens opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And so all of these, not only Paul, but hundreds have affirmed that Jesus Christ is alive. And they have seen him, and they have handled him, and they have talked with him. And so all of these say, Jesus is alive. And all of these people, 2,000 years removed, say, Jesus is dead. Now, whom are you going to believe? I rejoice in the frankness with which Paul places the matter before us. He says, if all of these things that I've been preaching to you, he said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, he said, I'm a liar. He said, I've told that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he did not raise him from the dead. I'm a false witness. I'm a liar. And so all of you who would sympathetically and politely hear me tell you these things and then say, well, that is his feeling. That is his religion. You see, that is his superstition. Let's not say anything to him about it. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to tell me everything about it, because he's not deceived. Because he said, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then all of these pious words that you've heard at funerals have been false. And those loved ones that the preacher stood up and said, if you are saved and they are saved, you will see them again in heaven. They are lies. It's a vain faith and it's a vain religion, and you are to set it aside and eat and drink, because tomorrow you're going to die. And so factually it's this. Jesus who died, and Paul affirms he is alive again. And also Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and Susanna and Joanna and Salome, all of these women have said that Jesus is alive again. And Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, all of these have said that Jesus is alive again. And 500 brethren, if we could consult them, have said Jesus is alive again. And the Apostle Paul, whose words I read to you in 1 Corinthians 15, says, now is Christ risen, the first fruits of them that slept. And so all of these people say Jesus is alive. And having read their testimonies and having listened to the denials of the world, all of those who have wisdom, the wise and the prudent, the enlightened, who say he is not alive, I read the testimony of these early believers, and I say, truth! And I listen to all the arguments of those who deny the resurrection of Christ, and I say, that is vain. That is hopelessness. That is all that they are able to set before us. Why? Because they do not know Christ as Savior. What happens is this. They, before they know Christ as Savior, are like those two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus is standing with them and asking them a question. And it says, they stand still, looking sad. Why? Because they think that Jesus is dead and gone. But then at the end of the journey, after the 7 miles, they suddenly realize that they've been talking to Jesus all this time, and their hearts are burning within them, and they are filled with life and hope and anticipation. And they retrace those 7 miles and go in fellowship with the other believers. And the Lord Jesus in that time had appeared to Peter. And while they were all talking together, it said that Jesus appeared to them all together. And that's the glorious truth. This is the experience that all of them had that first Easter morning. So think of all of these appearances of Christ. It says, and I could have read to you in Acts chapter 1, he appeared to them for the space of 40 days, telling them things about the kingdom of God. And so not only the portions that I brought to your attention, but throughout the 40 days, he appeared and then he would leave them. And so now they have seen Jesus as he went into heaven and as he was standing there watching him go. Two angelic beings said to them, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And so the fact is this. Yes, Jesus died. Yes, Paul affirmed him to be alive. And he is alive. And he has gone back to heaven. And he is at God's right hand. And he is waiting until his church is complete. And then he's coming back again. And I promise you this. All of you who say, this is false. They did not see Jesus. I promise you that you are going to see Jesus. Because the Bible says, every eye shall see him. And you who do not know Christ as Savior, when you see him, you'll call for the mountains to fall upon you and hide you from his face. Why? Because I told you that there is no friend like Jesus. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But there is no one who is to be more feared than the Lord Jesus Christ if you have rejected him as your Savior. For this reason, he died for your sins on the cross. And if you trust him as your Savior, that death causes your sins to be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if you do not trust him as Savior, then the blood of Jesus Christ and his death is on your hands, and you are responsible. You have personally rejected the death of the Son of God. You have accounted his death the death of a criminal, and you have rejected the gift of God and the love of God and the manifestation of light from heaven. You have rejected that, and you look at Jesus, and you should be afraid, because this is what he's going to say to you. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the fact is this, that one Jesus who died has been affirmed to be alive by Paul and Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Salome and Paul and James and all of these others. They affirm that Jesus is alive. And so God says, now, I've told you this. Will you believe it? Paul's gospel was this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he had been raised the third day according to the scriptures, and he hath been seen. And so you will either believe the testimony of those who saw him, of whom I spoke this morning, or you will reject their testimony. And in the coming day, we are going to see Jesus who have trusted him, and our heart shall rejoice. And you are going to see Jesus, and your heart is going to be filled with terror, and you will desire for the mountains to cover you. Your prayer will be for the mountains to cover you and hide you from the face of Jesus Christ, the face that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. Trust a living Savior for salvation. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we have not followed any cunningly devised fables. We are thankful that though the whole world tells us that Jesus is dead and his body is decomposed, we are thankful, our God, that all of those who told us that he was alive, that felt him, that talked to him, that saw him go back into heaven, we are thankful that we believe their testimony, and we are waiting for him to come and receive us to himself. And so by thy Spirit, our Father, convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, and let them understand this Easter morning the truth, the significance of Christ's death and his rising again. Our Father, may light from heaven shine upon them, and may they receive the light. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.